You're glad that you are here today? Amen. Praise God. Wonderful day. I pray that today God will just pour out the Spirit as He poured out on the day of Pentecost. Amen. The devil will have an experience of revival into the church and our lives and our spirit man. Amen. Praise God. So I pray that, you know, sometimes when the pastor or anybody speaks the word of God, it'll be good if you say amen. Do you know what you say? Amen means it's not amen. Even Hebrew word is amen. Amen. Because you say it wrongly, it is something else. Okay? So we say amen. When you say amen, it says, let it be done. Let it be done. Let it be so. So we want, actually we confess. When we say something, we confess the word of God. And the word of God, let it be done into my life. Let it be done. Let it be so in my life. Amen? When you say an amen, you're actually confessing it for yourself. So it's a habit for you to create that you say amen for the good words, not for the things that you say wrong things. You can say, ouch. Okay, it doesn't want to happen in your life. Amen? Praise God. The other thing I want to tell you, as I had spoken to you last time, people sometimes have been taught, when they receive the amen, some of them run up to the altar and give their tithing sometimes. They give their offerings again. Do you know right? Because they want to sow into the word, which is sown into their lives. If it touches their spirit man, quickly they do it. I'm not asking you to do it today here or in this church. I've seen people because how powerful the word amen is. Right? So you say amen to whatever it, your spirit man receives it. You feel that it's for you. Immediately say amen. Right? Praise God. Father, we just want to thank you, Father, for this morning, your Father. I dedicate my mind, my lips and my tongue, my voice box to you, Father. Everything that I speak, let it be so, Father, from according to your word. And it, nothing shall come from my flesh, but your spirit will guide me. Holy Spirit, I pray, you guide me today, this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's take the Pentecost Day famous teachings on Book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2. Let me read this first verse. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. We always ask, churches have different denominations. So some of the churches don't believe that it should continue, but many churches know that the Holy Spirit lives in us. I will explain to you about it a little while later. So many of them know the Holy Spirit is important in our life. There is an importance of Holy Spirit in our life. And I'll show you, if I have time, from the Old Testament until this Testament. If I don't have the time today, I'll keep to what I have to speak. And then after that, we will start teaching on the Holy Spirit Seminar Day. Amen? I'm preparing today for the Holy Spirit Seminar Day, which will be running on a Tuesday, on Saturday and on a Sunday. Amen? Praise God. So the Spirit of God is important. Why is it so important? In they were waiting on the time. They were up there waiting. And it says here very clearly before that in chapter 1, chapter 1 verse 4 says this, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. It was 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ has gone up on the 40th day, then after that they continued praying. If you find the gospel in book of Acts, you'll find the apostles, the disciples, the apostles, only 12 of them at a time, and one missing one, it's 11 of them. And now suddenly you'll have a group of them, 120 of them gathered together. You'll find in chapter 1 itself, they got together and they started praying daily after Jesus Christ has ascended. They prayed daily in the upper room. That's what the word of God says. And they received this Holy Spirit. And it says it's a promise of the Father. Jesus said it's the promise of the Father, which Jesus spoke about it. He said it before he left. He was ascended. Okay, praise God. Let us see, how does the Holy Spirit play in the life of every one of us? Is the Holy Spirit is still present? Some of them keep the Holy Spirit out of the church and they still Word of God. The Word of God is Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of God is partly with the Trinity of God. Now, Trinity, the word Trinity is not mentioned in the Gospel, but they work together as the same person. Amen. Praise God. They work together as the same person. All right. The Holy Spirit is a part of the Trinity, Father and the Son. He's part of them. The Old Testament Hebrew word says Ruach. Ruach, spelled as R-U-W-A-C-H. It's a Hebrew word, was used when talking about the Spirit in the Old Testament. This word literally means wind. How does the wind sound? Shh. Do you hear the wind? Do you hear wind sometimes? When you're standing in a valley, you can hear a wind very clearly, right? It gushes, whooshes out and goes. It's a wind. Although it means it's wind, it's associated with the breath. Breathe. When you breathe in, let go, what do you feel? A gush of wind going inside. A gush of wind coming out of your body. It's a wind, it's breath. In the New Testament, the Greek word is pronounced for wind is, breath is, pneuma. It's pronounced as P-N-E-U-M-A, pneuma. Was used in the time when Jesus was speaking. At the time, this New Testament is all about in Greek, as was translated in Greek, it was written in Greek. It's breathe or breath or breeze. It can literally think of the Holy Spirit. It's about the Holy Spirit. It's of the Holy Spirit. It's regards to the Holy Spirit as the breath of God. Where do you find breath of God? Jesus, God breathes to us. God breathes to us. Where do you find it in the Gospel? Did you all know anyone? Any one of you? Genesis. Good. Good for you. So Genesis, when God created man in Genesis 1, you'll find that when God created man, God breathed his breath upon man. Man was created in the mud from the earth, and every formation according to the image of Christ, image of God himself, that is his image, but he breathed into them. Until he breathed into them, there was no life. So just now we read, unless you know me, unless you abide in me, unless you eat the bread and drink the, eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no eternal life. There was a restoration of this eternal life from the Old Testament to the New Testament. There's something happened in the Garden of Eden. All of you know that. Right? The Spirit, when the Spirit of God left Adam and Eve, when they sinned, there was a sin committed, and for many years, people have to wait that the Spirit of God was not living in them daily. You will find, I'll show you that. It was either people, when God spoke to them through Spirit, and God also spoke to them and appeared in Spirit. God, you can see, has appeared as clouds. Many times in the Old Testament, he appeared as cloud before Moses. In Exodus, you'll find him as cloud. You'll see him as a fire, or pillar of fire. So, God is Spirit and fire. But above all, you must understand, in the beginning, the Word of God, and it says, in the beginning, the Spirit of God was hovering over the earth. What is the Spirit of God? If God is one person, if God was there and was hovering upon the earth, which is void at the time, what is God then? John chapter 4, verse 23-24. Can somebody read that out loud? I want you to see that. I want you to understand that today. Man, praise God. John chapter 4, verse 23-24. Amen. What did he say? God is Spirit. God cannot be seen. No one has seen God. The man whom God spoke to, and he says, the Word of God describes the way that Moses and God spoke was lip to lip.
so close. They were speaking mouth to mouth. And yet, Moses has not seen God. He has not seen the image of God. And when he says, Lord, Lord, help me, I want to see you today. You have done all this marvelous work for me. You used this vessel to work so much marvelous. So many miracles you have done. You brought us all out of wilderness now. Now show us. Show yourself to me. And God spoke to him and said, in Exodus, he said, if you see me, you will not live. If you see me, you will not live. Only people who are dead can see God when they are seeing him face to face. Because he's holy. He is holy. And he's holy. And he's holy. Amen. You can describe God only one way. He is holy. He is holy. He is holy. No other ways you can describe God. Because he's perfect. He's perfect. He's perfect. No other ways you can describe God of. You cannot describe God and say, no, I've seen God. His image is like this, like this, like this. In the world, we have got so many ways to describe men and women. They've got figures of whatever figures. They measure their inches and say, this is how you look like. And they say, this is how I can draw the face of this person. We can take pictures, but you can't see God's image at all. Amen? Are we getting somewhere? Are we getting somewhere? So if God is spirit, in the Old Testament it says ghost, Holy Ghost. Now we say here today, the ghost is here, I am scared of ghost. Don't worry, the Holy Ghost is greater than the ghost outside there. Alright? The Holy Ghost who lives in us is greater than the ghost outside. Amen. But God, for ages, from the beginning itself, God has revealed himself in spirit. He's never revealed himself in any other form. The only form he revealed himself was through the Son of God. Now, God is very difficult to understand. God is not somebody that you can see and describe. But how can God know everything about us? Now, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one in person. In person, they are three. But in one, they are one Godhead. There is only one person in God. They are, number one, omnipotent, all-powerful. Just now we prayed and said, power. The power of God will be upon us. When you receive that Holy Spirit, you receive power. Right? We read this now. All power. All powerful. Luke chapter 1 verse 35. And the angel answered, I'm reading from the old King James. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the Holy of the Highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born of you shall be called the Son of God. Some people, some teachings and doctrines outside, not of Christianity, they believe that God cannot beget somebody. God cannot have a son or a daughter. It's true. Right? But God, in his form, he can have anyone. I know so many of you who've come here and said, pray for me, pastor, or any servant of God, can you pray for me? I want to have a child. When there was intervention, God's divine intervention, there was a child in somebody's life. There are people who were barren for many years. There was a child. How is it possible? Because there was a divine intervention in God to rectify the womb of the woman. Or the seed which is planted, God made it fertile. Amen? Or make that seed, which is supposed to receive the seed, the ovary, to the egg, to be fertile too. God has to do an intervention. You'll find that also in the woman called Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. You'll find that also divine intervention in Sarah's life. Her name was Sarai before she became Sarah. Abraham became Abraham. Why the change? There was a God's divine intervention in them, and there was a child after that. Not at a child when they were teenagers or when they are 20s or 30s, but a child when you are totally at the age of 80s. How could man explain that? Unless there is a divine intervention. Amen? Hannah, you'll find that woman in Samuel 1, that she too had no child. But she always found that she was yearning to be having a child, although her husband loved her so much. But when she prayed, and she said, the word of God said, she prayed as if she was drunkard. She prayed so much, and like a drunkard woman, she was praying. And Eli has to call her and tell her, a woman, why are you so drunk? Don't drink when you come here. Don't take alcohol, consume alcohol when you come here. This is the house of God. And she says, you don't understand. Judge, he was a judge at the time. And he says, you don't understand. I'm praying to God with so much of fervent prayer. She was pouring out. And through that, there was a divine intervention. She had a child. His name was called Samuel. Then she had many other children too. Because of divine intervention of God. In the gospel, you'll find so many divine intervention of God. But this woman, Mary, you'll find there is a different divine intervention. It says, the Holy Spirit will come over you. The highest Spirit will come upon you. And you will be conceived with a child. Amen? Praise God. And this child will be called the Son of God. Amen. Praise God. So God can create with word. He created everything in the Genesis by word. You go back and check Genesis. He created everything by word. He didn't say, I formed. Only person he touched to form was man. Everything else he spoke, he says, this come out, plant shall be, water separate, earth separate. It all happened by word. He didn't have to work, but only work he put on was man, because he knows his own image. No one knows his image. No creation knows his image except for himself. So he created children, God, children of God in his own image. Man, praise God. So he is omnipotent, all powerful. He can do anything. You see, most of the things in the life in the early times of Old Testament, I don't have time to go through all those times. I believe we can cover a lot of things when we go through the Spirit, Holy Spirit seminar. Even at a time when it was not possible, he's so powerful he can even divide the sea. He's so powerful that even say something, it will happen. Okay? So many things happen. He's omnipresent. Second thing about this God is omnipresent. At all places at one time. Psalm 139 verse 7 says, where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence, God? You cannot flee from him. You cannot run away from him. Wherever you go to the cave, you've seen that many times people run into the cave when they're defeated. But God found them in the cave. That is why when he says, his hand is not too short, his hand will reach you out wherever you are. Amen? He is not a person who does not know what you're doing. Many of us think, oh, I am now doing this very secretly in a dark place, and God does not know. God knows everything, every single thing, whether in darkness or in bright daylight, or in some secret places under the cave or under the earth. We can dig all the things, go to the minus what they do down and under the earth. God knows them, what he's doing. When they pray from the minus, pray from down under the earth, God still answers their prayer. Amen? That's how his omnipresence is all about. He's eternal. God is eternal. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 14 says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? He's eternal. Sometimes we wonder, today we had the supper, commune with God today, commune with Jesus Christ. What did we do actually? He died centuries ago. All right? He died 2,000 years ago. How can it be eternal? Because he says his blood not only for those at the time, for all throughout generations. It's eternal. That's why he said just now we read, unless you eat of the bread and drink of the blood, you have no life eternal. unless you eat, unless you become part of Jesus Christ. Unless you become Jesus Christ, he become part of him. When you eat the blood means, when you drink the blood means, you are literally part of him. Right? When you eat the body, you become part of him. Right? So then we eat vegetables, meat and everything. They go inside, they absorb everything. We become part animal too sometimes. So sometimes we have our anger coming up. We know where we got from. No, I'm just joking. Okay. But important thing is, we understand that we become part of him and we are together with him now. We are one with him now. When we commune with Jesus Christ, we become one with him through the blood and his body. Amen? Amen. When we become one with him, the blood, he says, if the blood is shed for what? For the remission of sins for all. So when we become one with him, his blood covers us and we'll remove every sins of ours, whether the past, the present, and the future too. So it's eternal. Amen? Amen? So he's done away with my past. That is why in Isaiah he says, I will not remember your past, your sins, past sins. Hello? So if we feel guilty till today, we should not feel guilty because God, Jesus Christ, the moment you become part of him, he is eternal and you become part of him, flesh and blood with him. Everything is gone away, the past. The present now you become a better person. And the future, God will use his promise, Holy Spirit, to guide you to what you will be one day. Amen? According to his righteousness, according to his image, according to his purpose, we will be created. Amen? It's a process. It's not one day process. It's a lifelong process. Because it takes 9 months for a seed to be planted in the womb of a woman and she has got to be out 9 months later. It's a process. Child has to grow, has got to have finger, has got to have legs, has got to have everything in formation and all the organs in the body. Same like that, we will be nurtured by God as long as we partake of him all the day of our lives. Amen? God never walks away from you, but we walk away from him. By giving so many territorial spirits that we give power to. Right? We confess the wrong things sometimes. When we confess the wrong things, that the things of the outside one will come into us, and that's where we get wrong. He's eternal. He's eternal. So do not forget that whenever you have problems, whenever you have sins, so you can say, Lord, I'm sorry. Simple. I'm sorry for what I've done. Then you can go on with your life. Amen? Otherwise, the devil has the place of our lives. He's eternal. He's equal. Acts chapter 5, verse 3 to 4. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not of your own power? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart that you have not lied upon unto man, but unto God? First Peter started off saying that, Holy Spirit. Why do you lie to the Holy Spirit? But when you lie to the Holy Spirit, who do you lie to? God. Because God, Holy Spirit, and the Son of God, Jesus Christ, are same. Amen? 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 So when we partake of him, we are not partaking of the God, of Jesus Christ alone. We are partaking in the dwelling that he has with the Father in heaven and himself. He abides with the Father and the Father abides in him. We also have that same power with us, God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? So the same thing that the Spirit of God, which was him, he started off saying that, why did you lie to the Holy Spirit? When you lie to the Holy Spirit, you're not lying to the Holy Spirit, but you're lying to God. So God and the Spirit is one. Amen? Father God. You'll find only in the New Testament you can call God, Abba, Father. Amen? The Old Testament says what? God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. Whenever they pray, they always say, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. Because he is the God of living people, and he is a living God. Amen? Amen? Are we getting somewhere? Okay. But the next part we want to understand, that when we say something wrong, we inflict the Holy Spirit, And the Holy Spirit is part of God and is God too. Amen? So we are knowing what God is equal. He's equal with God. When he said he's equal with God, same. That's why the Spirit of God was hovering. When the Spirit of God was hovering over the earth in Genesis, he's part of God. In John 1, he says, in the beginning was the Word was with God. He's part of God. Amen? Do you understand so far? Is it getting warm here? I think the Holy Spirit warm. Okay. Can we have some aircon? I'm feeling really hot here. Really hot here. Thank you. Praise God. It's not on here. So he is equal. So God cannot be separated. The Spirit of God cannot be separated from the Godhead. The Son cannot be separated from the Godhead. Amen? We know they all are three of them are one. Now, the Holy Spirit was part of all things from the very beginning of Scripture to the very end of the Scripture. He was his and until the end of the Scripture, he still shall be one. Amen? Let's look at it how we end. Genesis chapter 1:1 says that in the beginning God, it's God, it says Elohim. In the word, in the Hebrew word, it says Elohim. The God who is a creator. Elohim is the God of creation. God who created, he was there part of the God. Elohim is the plural form of God. Therefore, a scripture, plural means too many, not singular. Right? Inspired, the scripture was inspired and man began to write the word of God. Man began to write word. The first five books of the word, gospel, is received, was written by only one man. Who was that? Moses. No wonder it says he spoke to God mouth to mouth. Amen? He spoke to God mouth to mouth. So he could receive. The power of the Holy Spirit was with him at that time and guided him in every way. So Godhead is a person. It cannot be, Holy Spirit cannot be something which is it. It is a person. It's a person. Amen? There are other references. You can see God as Holy Ghost and descended. Chapter 3, Luke chapter 3. I want you to go back and read. Otherwise, I won't have time today. 3 verse 32. The Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. When Jesus was baptized, when he came out of the water, what he says? Thou art, I am pleased with you. And he says, You are my beloved Son. Amen. The evidence of the Father and the Son's relationship is shown in Luke chapter 3 verse 22. The gospel in Matthew chapter 3 verse 16-17. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straight away out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And John the Baptist was the testimony for this. Amen? And the people who were there, he was able to see. Mark chapter 1 verse 13 you'll find, straight away coming out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Right? Praise God. Deuteronomy explains and demonstrates the God of Israel. The God of Israel was one. And God had made of a plurality itself. I'll show it to you. Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord, Jehovah, pronounced Jehovah, our God, Elohim, is the Lord. Amen. Jehovah and Elohim are plural. Amen. Praise God. It is important to understand the Holy Spirit is truly God from the beginning itself. Right? You cannot separate three. One of them say, I like Jesus Christ's word and I don't like the Holy Spirit. And I think I don't want the Holy Spirit. I want to keep him away from here. I want the Father in heaven because he's the one give us. Because James says, all perfect and good blessings come from the Father. I only want the Father only because he's the one who can give perfect and good blessings. Gifts. Is that right? So no such thing as that. You accept as a package. How many of you get married and says, look, you will accept me with all my the naughty things and the good things and what I am, how I look like. Is that right? And he said, okay, I accept you as you are as a package. Same way, when you receive God, Jesus Christ, you receive Jesus Christ as a package. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. No wonder Jesus Christ said, why have you not seen? He says, show me and Father. Show me the God, the Father. And he says, why haven't you seen me? I've been with you so long. You see me, you've seen the Father. Amen. That word should strike us and say, yes. If I see Jesus Christ, I see the Father. I see the Father's character. I see the Father's image in Christ Jesus. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 19. Can we have that on the screen? 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 19. Is it up there? Sorry, I didn't write it down. Okay. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Now let's look at this word. The temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the body of the temple of the Holy Spirit. God will not live in things of which is not He created other things. He will live only in His own image. He will not live in anything else He has created other than His image. Hello? And He will not live in anything that is dead. He will only live in the people whom He has created in His image. That's God has created us in His image. But Jesus restored it back to us, the New Testament. When He went up to Calvary, He restored everything back to us. There was a restoration. That is why the curtain at the altar inside the tabernacle was drawn, was cut into two, split into two, and was open for us to go near to the Father. Amen? He made that possible for us. So God does not live in us by His person itself, but He lives in us as a person of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen? Amen. Praise God. So God lives in us as the Holy Spirit. That's why He says, God, have you not God? So when you are receiving the Holy Spirit, you are receiving God Himself. The power of God, which God gave it to Jesus, will also rest upon us. Amen? Amen. No wonder Jesus said, you will do greater things than I have done. Because I have gone back to my Father. I am returning to my Father. When I return to my Father, you will do greater things than I have done. Amen? Amen? Praise God. This morning He said, you'll trample on the scorpion, nothing will happen to you. Right? You'll see demons fleeing away from you because God has given you that power, authority. Four important principles to remember about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. He is a person, not a force. We cannot focus only on the Holy Spirit alone, but it comes together as a package. The baptizer is Jesus Christ or no one else. And He says in John chapter 16, He says, or even 14, 13 itself, you can see, He says, I will go to my Father, I'll ask my Father to baptize you, that not He'll release the Holy Spirit to you, the comfortable with you, right? He says it very clearly in chapter 13, 14, and 15 also He says it. And in 16 He reaffirms it. What does the Holy Spirit do for us? Amen? The Holy Spirit gives gifts for use in the ministry and empower effectively. So the people are given the Holy Spirit not for the glory of ourselves, but the Holy Spirit lives in us to empower us. To have the gifts. We can have the gifts, but we must have power. Right? If we go back and see just now what I read just now from the book of Acts. Chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. He didn't say, you'll receive the gifts only. He says, when you receive the power, power means dunamis. Dunamis is dynamite. Dynamite means what? It's explosion. Power that can explode out of you. And they cannot, anything around you cannot remain the same. Amen? The word dunamis, convert it into the thing is explosion. Dynamite. Dunamis is dynamite. So the power that you'll receive, no wonder a timid man, always a man who is quick at telling things and silly things he does, Peter stood up with power. He spoke to the people. Amen? Amen? Hello? Amen? Amen. So we can receive the same power. It's not the Holy Spirit alone. When the Holy Spirit come upon earth, there shall be power. Dunamis power. Amen? The dynamite power. we will explode. And nothing around us which is not of God will stay the same. If there is a healing to be done, there shall be healing. If the dead has to be raised, it will be raised. If there's a demon around here, it will flee. Because there's power in the word of God. There is power, the dunamis power you'll receive. Amen? And he says, greater exploits you'll do because the power is in us. Amen? And he says that very clearly in verse 8, you shall be a witness to me in Jerusalem. Why? He will come upon us, the Holy Spirit will come upon us, give us power so that we can be a witness. How can we witness? Unless you testify. When there's a witness comes in the court of law, you go, there's a lawyer here, I think, you go to the court and you say, you call for a witness. What did you see? What did you hear? Were you there during the action? Right or not? A witness will say that I was there and testify this is what happened. Same here, become a witness. When you become a witness, not only will you just know what God is doing through you, you'll be a witness to God, but you'll be exploiting the same gifts God has given to you and you'll do greater things. Amen? The Spirit of God is not a God just comes here and says, no. God is so almighty and powerful. If we can, by word, can create the earth, by word, we can also heal people. By word, we can also ask demons to flee. By word, we can also raise the dead. That's exploiting the power of God. Amen? Jesus walked with the power of God. He walked with the power of God. He said something, it will be done. And even he cursed. He says, woe to you. Cursed be you. Victory, because you did not give me food when I needed food. I'm hungry. The next day, the tree was dead. So if you see a sickness and you say, in the name of Jesus, I curse you, sickness. Surely, the sickness should be dead. Amen? Amen? So it's okay to say, because what comes out from mouth is power. The dunamis power is inside here. And it must explode. And it needs a voice to explode. It needs a mouth to explode. It cannot explode by lighting something. The light is inside here. Amen? Holy Spirit power is inside. When you have that Holy Spirit power inside us, things will change. Mighty works God will do for us. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Wonderful. Are we getting somewhere? Do you want the power of the Holy Spirit to come down today? Praise God. Is that a yes? Oh, yes, Lord! There are two ways of saying, yes, yes, 20 years, yes, yes. I don't move out from my chair. Yes. But he said, yes, Lord, I want it now. That's excitement. That's power being released from your spirit, man. When the power is being released from your spirit, man, things will change. Amen? There is a great desire. There is a great want. That this want will turn out to be a spirit that comes out from God and together with your spirit, man, rises up and does something great. Amen? Amen? Amen. Praise God. Wonderful. I can hear better, greater amens now. The fourth thing about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a distinct person within the Godhead, not a force, a thing, or an it. I told you just now. You see, can the wall do something for you? Can this banner do something for you? Can the wood there can do something for you? Can this pulpit do something for you? It's a it. Unless it's a person, if I say, Brother Jeshurun, come up and can you carry this chair for me? He will carry. He's a person. So I asked Brother John, Brother John, can you go up, John Ming, can you go up there and pick up those things, the chair or some equipment from there and bring it here? He'll do it. A person only can do it. There are gifts that is given to you by a person. When do you receive a gift from a tree? Look at a tree. I love this tree. I love this flower. I love this flower. How I wish you can give me this flower to me. You stand there until we are gone to the 6 feet underground, you will not still receive the flower. Because you need somebody to go and pluck it and give it to you. So Spirit of God is a person. He can give it to you. You ask for it. He says, ask, you'll receive. Seek, you'll find. Knock. You cannot be saying, knock, 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 knock. He must knock. A person only can knock the door. So, Spirit of God is a person. Amen. Amen. So, you want that person of God to be inside you, That's why he gave that power on the day of the Pentecost day. They were waiting and praying together, the 120 of them. They were actually praying some. I believe there were some of them travailing. What's travailing? Travailing is not just only prayer. It's going into the spiritual realm. Travail. Lord, I need it. Travail is something like the woman Hannah did. Do you know Hannah in the 1 Samuel chapter 1? You'll see this woman, Anna, the Elkanah's wife, and she's got two wives, and happens to be this one is the most loved wife of Elkanah, and he's got a second wife. The second wife's got more children, and this woman was barren. And every time the second wife will tease her, oh, you see, you're so loved, yet I've got children, you don't have children. Every day you see her, you know, every time she cries. So she said, I don't want to cry in front of this woman, I want to go and cry before God. A God of mercy, a God of love. A God who can do things. He's not just something, but he will do something. Because you know why? A God who can move things. In the beginning, God created the earth. How does he create if he's not a person? The word of God says that he was spirit. How can he create something without a thing? So God has got to create James in his image like this. Or Adam was like this. Whatever the figure was, 20, 20, 20, 20, or 30, 30, 30, 30, whatever the figure was, he created him like that. And then he said, this is Adam. So there was somebody doing the work. The Spirit of God does the work. Amen. Amen. You'll find the Gospels. I will give you details, scriptures of all those things in my seminars next time. You'll find the Gospel that even in the time when the Holy Spirit, when he did a lot of things, he did so many things that you can find that even the Old Testament and New Testament, he was already working mightily. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God came like a fire. Only one person I can think of in Kings, 1 Kings, who brought fire down from heaven. He brought Holy Spirit down. When you start reading and meditating upon the Word of God, you'll find he was actually, in Malay they call it ejaking, you know, trying to tease the other fellow. Pray lah. Pray harder, harder, harder. Because they were cutting their hands. And you know, remember what I'm talking about? When in the time of in Kings, you'll find, after chapters 19, you'll find 18, 17, 18, 19. You'll find Elijah, the great man. He went against the Baal spirits. And he brought so many people there. And about 600 people were there at the time. And the Baal priests were there. And Baal priest, he says, if you see a God, if your God is greater, it's really true God, today there will fire come down from heaven and burn the offering here. And he went inside, he put also an altar, he put a broken altar, he built the altar again, and after that, he brought the fire down. But when they were praying, the Baal priests were praying, he was teasing them. I used to be wondering, why this man is so proud? He's teasing them like that. Because he's sure he knows his God. He knows whom he's praying to. He knows that the power of God will come. And he says, when I speak to a God who's a living God, he will do. He's not a stagnant God. He's not like that. That is why when he says, no, very ridicule, he ridiculed them. No, he says, why, your God has gone to sleep, is it? Or your God has gone to toilet now? Has Baal gone to toilet? Or is he resting now? The way he teased them was so, I would say, hurting to a person. Right? If you tell me about Jesus Christ, I'll get very angry. Boiling inside. Same thing like that. They would have felt that same way about Baal. But he knows. Because among all the people there, only one man knew about his God. Only one man knew about his God. That he became so powerful, he says, you can even pour water, drench it with water. Pay some more. The wood is hot, wet. The offering is wet. And they have got a drain made out throughout here. And it's all wet. The ground is wet. And the fire came down, consumed everything. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. That day the power of the Holy Spirit came down. It came like a fire. And consumed everything. And showed he's a God who's powerful. Amen? And he's not in the Old Testament alone. He's still in the New Testament. There are so many people are here now. Man of God and woman of God being translated. From this place to another place. No one can do that except for God. God can do that. Amen? So he's a person. The qualities of a person is actually the Holy Spirit is intellectual. Right? A thing like this cannot be intellectual. A statue cannot be intellectual. Holy Spirit is intellectual. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. I want you to go back and read now. Right? Check down the notes. You can take a read. God has revealed to Adam, by Spirit, Everything that is such as thee, you will get it. Okay. Number two, God, Holy Spirit has knowledge. The tree does not have knowledge. A wall does not have knowledge. A stone does not have knowledge. But the Spirit of God has knowledge. That is why one of the gifts is knowledge. So when you pray for somebody, suddenly God will tell you, oh, this person is like this, like this, like this, like this. That is word of knowledge. If it is something, if it's not a person telling you, you will not know. The Holy Spirit tells you. He is the knowledge of the people, of the past, the present, and the future. That's why the prophets work on knowledge, word of knowledge, revelation. Right? He knows the word next future because of the word of knowledge. Knowledge comes from the Spirit of God. The future is not revealed to the evil ones. Can never be revealed to the evil ones. Amen to that. Can never be revealed to the evil ones. Amen. Because God holds the future in His hands. When Jesus was asked, tell me when is the last days coming? He says, I myself do not know. My Father knows. Only He knows. If somebody is prophesying tomorrow is the last day of the earth, you ask it whether it comes from God or is it came from me. He says, I myself do not know the time or the hour or the minute or the second. But God knows. Go back to scripture, you find it. Because He says it very clearly. If Jesus says whatever comes from the mouth of Jesus Christ is true and perfect and perfect. Amen? Can never go wrong. So He says it very clearly. So I cannot predict when is the world is going to end. It will come. It could be next generation, could be 10 generations. I do not know, I don't care. But I know one thing for sure, I have to live my life every day according to His perfection so that I will have my end of my days here that I'm reporting to Him later. Do you understand? Do not worry about what is going to happen, you know, what's going to happen tomorrow if the Twin Tower is going to, there's a prophecy the Twin Tower is going to come down. The pride of the nation will come down. But we don't know when. Right? We don't know when. There's the prophecy about so many things, but we do not know when. God knows His timing. He will do it because He knows what He is going to do. Amen? So only a person can know the knowledge. A thing cannot know the knowledge. So Holy Spirit is a person. Holy Spirit has got emotion. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 30. And grieve. Lupe. It's a word is used as Ephesians. And this is actually a Greek word. Lupe. Lupeo. L-U-P-E-O, lupeo, to make sad or sorrowful, heavy of heart, not of the Holy Spirit. Jesus wants this. Do not make, you know, He's very sorrowful. He's so alive emotionally. When you're alive emotionally, only then you can be emotional. It can show whether you are loving, your happiness, or you're sad or sorrowful. Only then, only a human being can show that. Nothing else can show you. Have you had a cow? I had my, when I was young, I had so many cows, dogs. We had cows, and then we had so many goats. Because I come from a farm man. I'm a farmer's man. So, you will see, I never, if I recall back again, I never had a cow come and cry, I'm so sorrowful today, because I didn't get food. Neither did any of the goats come and say, but human beings has got a certain kind of feeling. Do you know that? You feel hurt. You feel sad, emotional. But the animals, they know their lives. They go on with their lives. Even they are in sick. Even they are sick. They do not. They will groan, but they do not have that show you the pain or whatever it is. I know some of you are dog lovers. Right? You tell the dog and you heal the fellow, put some worm like maggots coming out and you heal the fellow and come out. The fellow still goes around doing whatever he wants to do. Right? He still is strong. But we are actually, hopefully don't go out there today. No. Actually, some cats and dogs know how to heal themselves. Do you know that? They go out and get some herbs, they eat, and after that they vomit out what they have eaten. And they heal themselves. We are the one who is reaching out. So we are the one who got more emotions. Why do we have more emotions? Because we are a person. Spirit of God has emotions. Amen? Amen? Praise God. Wonderful. Are we getting somewhere? We want to speak about the Spirit of God today. Amen. The Holy Spirit has His own will and He makes decisions. That is why man, he had to make his own decision. When the woman at the time in Garden of Eden, she had to make a decision at that time. She had to ask the serpent. The serpent was trying to convince her. There was a salesman talking. The serpent was a salesman. Did God tell you this? Putting a doubt into the thing. So when you go to a supermarket, there is always somebody putting in doubts. Right? No, that medicine he bought is not so good. Oh, that one has got lesser, iron. This one has got lesser. You see, mine has got more. Somebody is trying to convince you, isn't it? Right? In the Garden of Eden, there was a decision to be made. And there was a salesman talking about things of God, of the promises, of the things that have been told. But he's debating and telling her, no, you think so? If you eat this fruit, God says don't eat this fruit. He said, you eat this fruit, it'll be okay. Who told you cannot eat this fruit? There was a salesman selling. The salesman was serpent. Inside the serpent was this called Satan. Hello? The serpent was innocent. Satan inside him and said something, and after that, and she was conceived. She conceived the idea of the Satan. She bought the idea of the Satan. A decision she had to make. The choice is yours. The will God has given to us. Because we lost that will, now the Spirit of God has come back and restored that will back again in us. Amen? Amen? So, the Spirit of God has got a will. Now, when you do something wrong, and when you go out to do something wrong, and you say, this is wrong. You find there is some conscience in you, there is something that is happening inside you, and says, no, you should not do it. Even after doing something, you can, I'm sorry, I did this yesterday, I'm sorry. Have you had that conviction? That's definitely the Holy Spirit. As a Christian, last time I don't have that kind of feeling, After all, it's okay, man, it's money and all those things, fine, no problem. But now, you find more convicted. Even a 5 cents you cheat somebody, why did that? 5 cents, I should have given the 5 cents back, Have you seen that? I know a group of people, in my business time, I had, my business was down, and I went to Perlis. I had a project in Perlis, and this Kanga, there's a bus station there, and I couldn't drive my car at times, so I took a bus in my express bus and went. I wait for the buses at a time there, and to express bus to come. There's a bus station, and there's one man, a Muslim man, an Indian Muslim man who sells books and all those things out there. Somehow or other, that day I was standing there, I became very friendly with him because I go to Kanga very often. And he says, sir, I can't see my eyes. Can you see what's the price of that book there? I looked at the book. I said, some price. Assuming it's $3.50. $3.50. Right? And after that, I said, okay, I think that's the price. Then when the son came back, he says, what is the price of that book? You don't even write there, I don't know how much the price. Oh, this is only $2.40. $3.40. Oh, I overcharged him 10 cents. Go and look for that man with the red shirt, whatever it is, give him back the 10 cents. Can you see the conviction of people? I believe it's the Holy Spirit. It's not a spirit of righteousness. It's a spirit of God. Spirit of God. Amen? So how many times do we feel that? How many times we go and eat and suddenly we find that, how come this guy has charged us a little bit less today? I've got this extra. He should have charged more than that. Yesterday I took this food, this much. Have you ever gone back and done that? If God has convicted you that way, that is the Holy Spirit. Amen? Many times in our life. My life changed. Last time when I was young, I eat more and more. I less, tell them less. Hello? You all had an experience, don't... See, when you go and eat, young guys, you go and eat, you only got limited 50 cents or 30 cents on the last time. 30 cents can only buy this much. Then you want to eat more and more. You become greedy after eating sometime, you eat more than 30 cents. And you tell him exactly 30 cents amount and give him 30 cents and come back. Probably you're right for 1 ringgit. Right? Those was not the Holy Spirit. That is the evil spirit. The lying spirit. Amen? So God's spirit is perfect spirit. God's spirit has got emotions. God's spirit has got a will. So he will you to become what he wants to be. Amen? His will override our will. But if our emotions and our intelligence becomes greater and greater, we override his will because Holy Spirit is a gentleman. Amen? Holy Spirit is a gentleman. Holy Spirit loves. Romans chapter 15, verse 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. So out of love, suddenly you'll feel that, today I must pray for a pastor. Or I must pray for the sister. It's out of love of the Holy Spirit. It's inspiring you to pray for somebody. Amen? Sometimes what we do is that we pray. Suddenly you'll feel the urge. I don't know why, lah. I feel like praying for somebody. And then you are going there, just say, Rabashi, Radabashi. I pray like that, no? I start speaking in tongue. I don't know what to pray for. So suddenly you'll find the next day somebody says, Pastor, you know what? This time I had this problem. He said, I overcome the problem, no? I thank God for this, no? Oh, no wonder I know this time this the person God asked me to pray. Because God is a God of love. Out of love, you do things. Out of love, Christ went up on the cross. If the Spirit of God is not in him, if he is not part of the Spirit of God and Godhead, he will not do the thing for what you've done. Do you think I will go and crucify myself for all of you all? I doubt I will do. Seriously. It's the truth. And please catch me like, no, because you're church members, you have to crucify. No, I don't want. I'm willing to. I didn't say I'm willing to, no. I said, no, I'll find my ways to fight every loss and every loophole to fight myself out. I'll hire the best lawyer. Bernard Fong and Mimi. Look. Come on, go, get for me. Sorry, Brian. I think... Bernard, I think he must also study law. I think he's a stock market lawyer. Praise God. So, there is out of the love of God. God's head is out of love. You know, when I became a Christian, new Christian, I used to pray, God of love, God of compassion, God Almighty. My prayer was very simple, man. I don't know how to pray, you know, seriously. I didn't have the tongues early morning. Almighty God, God of Abraham, God of Isaac. That's what I read. I don't know how to pray. This guy was a bit dumb. So, you know, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. Now change to become Israel. God of Moses. God of Elijah, God of David. I prayed like that. Right? So yesterday I was doing a deliverance and I was talking to this house and I said, see, the God of Abraham is a great God. Even the believer, his servant, his head servant, went to search for a wife for his son Isaac. He asked his servant to come and he says, put your hands together at between my feet, between my thigh. And make a promise that you'll go to this place and get a wife for me. If you go back and see the prayer of the servant, it's so powerful. Can you turn to Genesis? I want you to have that kind of prayer. He is not a believer, I believe. He is not a believer. Right? But his prayer was powerful. That is why I like about him. His prayer. Oh God of my master. He said, oh God of my master. It's not his God. The way he prayed was so powerful. And God really answered it immediately. As the word of God says, no, as he was finished praying, immediately he saw a woman come there to the well. You read the word of God. You go back and read it. You'll find a woman came to the well. And that was the right woman. He asked the right word. He says, can you give me some water? And yes, I'll give you some water. I'll also feed your camel. Isn't that wonderful? Who revealed that to that person? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, God the Spirit, was there at the time. And he was able to execute the things of the prayer of this servant. Amen. So, Holy Spirit is powerful. How many of you go for examinations? Sometimes you go blank out. Because you're scared of the examinations. Right? And you just start praying in tongues and you say, Lord, I do not know what to do. Can you help me? You'll see you'll write better. Because the Spirit of God has got a word of knowledge. His understanding surpasses all understandings. Amen. Amen. So, great Spirit of God is person. So he will have the understanding of everything else. Holy Spirit is of love. Out of love, we will do things. Amen? Spirit of God is love. Amen. Praise God. Amen. The Spirit of God also does a lot of the other things. The Spirit of God is only a person who would do, which does not do others. He teaches you about God and yourself. Amen. John chapter 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatever so I have said unto you. That's old English, okay? Whatever the Holy Spirit is teaching you, the Comforter will teach and reveal more about God and about Jesus Christ. He will be a teacher. Joel, you'll go back to Joel, and you'll find chapter 2, verse 28, and says the same thing. He says, I will pour out the Spirit of the Holy Ghost on the Spirit on the last days upon every flesh, and no man has got to teach others. The Spirit of God will teach each other. Amen? It's powerful. So Spirit of God is so powerful. He is the teacher. Today, I am teaching to you today, not because of my own intelligence. I don't think I have that kind of intelligence. I don't have the understanding of what it says, but it's definitely the Spirit of God revelation. So glory not to the pastor, glory to the Spirit of God and Jesus Christ himself, because he is the revelation. Not because the man stands here, he's got great nothing. So small, but he is the one who speaks through me. Amen? So I don't have this kind of revelations. I know definitely it's the Spirit of God. He tells the truth. Second thing, he tells the truth. John 15, verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, he will speak the truth, which proceeds from the Father. The truth which proceeds from the Father. That is why Jesus himself said, whatever I see my Father do, I do. Whatever my Father say, I say. Amen? And he tells Timothy, and he tells everybody, whatever I speak to you in darkness, go out to the top of the floor, top of the house, and scream it out. Everybody. And we only know one person who screams out this nation with a loudspeaker 5 times a day. We're supposed to do that. We're not screaming. We're not reading the word gospel, word of God. Right? So you pick somebody else doing what we are supposed to do. So every time when they sing, you say, praise the Lord. God, you are reigning in this place. You are going to take over this place. Amen. He guides. Holy Spirit guides. You will find sometimes, wow, pastor, very good, huh? Please, nothing here, no? I don't think it's much here. It's the Spirit of God with revelations. Amen? He guides. There are times when we are lost. We don't know what to do. He's the best person to ask. Don't ask the pastor, what do you think I should do? Go and ask the accountant. No, I don't know what to do. Go and ask Bernard. Bernard, can you tell me what is the stock market coming tomorrow? Bernard, I don't know what's going to happen next month, no. Can I invest 20 million now? Praise the Lord. I pray it's prophetic. 20, 100 million invest. You wouldn't know. But if he has the Spirit of knowledge, he teaches, he guides. He says, yes, now you put in this time and you'll take it out a few days later. He can guide you. Amen. John chapter 16, verse 13. John chapter 16, verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Amen. He will guide you what are the things to come. If the stock market is going to rocket now, he'll tell you it's going to be a roller coaster. Right? If he's going to tell you the business is coming on the way, it's going to come. If you're going to get a new job, he'll tell you what he's going to do. He'll guide you in everything. Amen? Praise God. Wonderful. Amen. And you know what? He also convinces. John chapter 16, verse 8. John chapter 16. And when he comes, when he has come, he will convict the world of sin. Aha. And of the righteousness and of judgment. When the Spirit of God is in us, he'll convict us of this righteousness. And all of our sins will be convicted. When you see people are doing right, you will not follow them. If somebody tells you, you must bribe me now, you'll say, please, can you give me the summons? Because you will not follow the world. Convicts you. I don't want you to bribe. Unrighteousness. And he'll bring this to the righteousness of God. Amen? You don't have to go and bribe. You don't have to go and do the things that the world is doing. But God in his power, with the Holy Spirit, when you start praying, God will do mighty things. Without even paying for under table, the judgment will come. And that you will have everything done in your life. Amen? and you are convicted with that, you believe in that, you trust in that, the word of God is true, surely it will come to pass to true. If you feel that in your heart, half-hearted, double-minded, if I pay, I pray to God, I also give something here, definitely it will come to pass. Sometimes it does not. I was one of the fools. Right? I prayed and I said, I went and gave some money and the money never came back. I never got the contract. And the money somebody took and went off flying away like that somewhere. It's always the case. Right? So, you go with without wisdom, you'll have that. He prays for you. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 to 27. Likewise, the Spirit of God also helps us. So, let's turn to Romans. Let me read in there. Romans chapter 8, verse. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows that he, the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Why do sometimes when we pray, you know, just now I said John chapter 4 verse 23, 24, it says, this is the 24, it says, this is the time, this is the hour that God wants you to speak, pray in spirit and truth. Truth is Jesus Christ, truth is the word of God, and the spirit is the utterance of tongues. Right? Tongues. You don't know what to pray for. When you just come out, the spirit of yours will understand. The spirit of God is inside you will understand. He will start interceding for us. Amen? Not only for you, also for the people you want to intercede for. Let us say somebody comes in, pray for me, pastor. I don't know what to pray for. They don't tell me what to pray for. So I will just pray. Some word of wisdom will come and say, God says this is done, or something like that. It's not from me. I'm not that intelligent. But the spirit of God is intelligent. He can pray for you. And tomorrow you come and, pastor, you know what, brothers, sisters, you know, that day in the prayer meeting, you all prayed for me, and you know, things came out right. Who? We do not know what to pray for, but we just pray in tongues. And God intercedes for you, and God, the Spirit of God will come to come to pass what God's intention is in our life. Amen? Praise God. Don't worry, I'll stop in a few minutes. I'll continue with that the next time. All right. I know all of you are hungry. Be hungry for the Holy Ghost today. Amen. Amen. Be hungry for the Holy Ghost. I'm praying today morning from morning itself. I got up at 5 o'clock. I said, pray, Lord, do something in the church today that somebody will receive the Holy Spirit and they will rejoice today. There will be deliverance. There will be anointing. There will be something happening today. Amen. That's why we speak more of Him today. He commands, Acts chapter 13, verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas, and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them to. Acts chapter 13 verse 2 says it very carefully, very clearly. Saul was a man who was convicting all the people of Christians, or believers at that time. But now Saul, God touched him. And at that time, Spirit of God, as they were praying, a group of them, the elders and every people in the Antioch church, in Antioch, as they were praying together, right? Suddenly the Spirit of God came and said, separate for me Barnabas and Saul so that I can anoint them to do the work that I want them to do. Amen. God's directions, no man can stop. Today, Barnabas and Saul has done missionary work. Three times they went around. And Barnabas continued, even though Paul was caught, put in prison. And even in the prison, Saul was able to exploit a lot of great things because of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you picture what he writes, you know. He says he's hanging with the hands up here like that. Right? Chains. They're not on the floor, you know, they're hanging. And the Spirit of God comes upon them. They're worshiping God at a time. If it is not the Spirit of God, you are hanging like that, your bones are going to come out. Joints are going to give way, and you can still worship God. And there was power. And the chains went off. And the prison door was open. Go back and read. You'll get excited about the Holy Spirit. Go excited about it. Because He is part of Godhead. He is one with Godhead. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I pray today. I'll stop here and I'll continue next time when I do the seminar. I pray that you'll sign up for the seminar. I've got all together here about 30 over pages. I only went through fourth page. Amen. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. And I've not done my preface yet. Praise the Lord. Amen. So we will do the Holy Spirit seminar. Today is just an excitement, a teaser for you, so that even if you have already received the Holy Spirit, you will rekindle the Holy Spirit, that the power of God will come greater in you, and we will do the exploits of the days that God has anointed us for this season, this time, for this generation. Amen. And then we can pass on the baton to our children, so they can carry on the baton, and they can do greater things than what we have done. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So let's pray. Amen. Let's pray. And I want the worship team to come up now. I just want you all to close your eyes. Ask God today. Holy Spirit, I desire you. The only person who can baptize you with the Holy Spirit is not a pastor. It's not anybody else. The great shepherd. The mighty shepherd. The great pastor. The great anointer. His name is Jesus Christ. Only He can anoint. And John the Baptist says it very clearly. I baptize you with water. There is one who is coming after me who is greater. That I can't even untie his shoelaces. Undo his shoelaces. He's greater. Even though I find it unworthy for me to touch his shoelaces. That powerful Jesus Christ is. Today, this person of Christ Jesus, he gave a promise. Brother, can you do the cleaning afterwards? Can you ask him to come back? Ask him. Ask the Holy Spirit. He will do something today. That none of us will be separated from him. That none of us will be stolen out from what the purpose God has got for us. The demons can come. Temptations can come. Things can work. Friends can come and spoil you. But it will not happen. Because the Holy Spirit lives in us. So rightly Paul says, greater is he who lives in us than is he of the world. Why is he greater? Because he was the creator. He was there at the beginning of centuries, beginning of ages, beginning of formation of the galaxies. He was there. He's greater than anything else. Everything else, even the angels, even the fallen angels were created by him. So they will hear the commands of his and stop him. Stop the evil one from coming to ours. Rob away the things that God has promised in our life. He will do it for you. If only you can listen to him today. I want to ask of you today. Just close your eyes. Ask of him. I can't do it. Oh, baptizer. John the Baptist says. He says, I can't untie him. He is greater than me. He is the one who can baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Not me. I can only baptize you with water. Which is physical. I can go to the river. I can get the water and submerge you inside. But he will give you the thing you cannot see. Amen. The Spirit of God cannot be seen, cannot be touched, but He's a person who will come and live in you. Amen.